Welcome to the Sunday AM podcast. We are a church located at the Carrick Centre in Ballincollig. Join us for prayer, praise, teaching and fellowship every Sunday morning at 11 a.m.
Good morning. It is still morning. I was, for those of you who don't know me, my name is Ming, and normally I am in Blarney Church. Before COVID, my family did come here, but soon after COVID, then we went to Blarney. So, years and years and years ago, when we were in the parish centre, I just preached, and I came out, I was in the car with one of my kids, and they said to me, "Oh, Pa, you can't preach there again." I said, "Oh, why's that?" I said, "Well, you used up all your best stories in one go. That was completely over the top." So I've been a taxi driver for the last 5 years, and I've collected a lot of stories, so no bother there, right? So I'm going to start off with a taxi story. I'll give you half at the beginning, and we'll come round at the end, and I'll finish it off, right? So, my taxi story. So, before COVID, it was Saturday morning, a bit drizzly, I was driving around, trying to make a bit of money, and this call came. Go from Montanotti up to the north side. So, driving along. Get to the house, pick up Sean. Sean gets in the car, it's about 11 o'clock in the morning, and dark blue sweater, light kind of khaki pants, brown brogues, button-down shirt, kind of smart guy, right? 30 years old or so. Gets in the car, said, "Take me up to the north side, to the big church." I said, "Oh, there's a lot of churches on the north side, mate. Which one?" You know. So anyway, figure out where we're going. I'm on my way. That's a tenner. So I'm driving along. He says, "Oh yeah, my mum says that I need to get there and light some candles for my uncles and pray for them." Well, I say, "That's very good. It's a good thing." I drive along, you know, when we get there, I also feel a bit uncomfortable because we're going to go and do this thing. I'm going to be a godfather, and I have to say this stuff that I'm not really comfortable about saying anything. I said, "What's that?" He said, "Well, you know, there's this stuff about renouncing Satan and turning away from things. And, you know, I've just kind of grown out of that. That's not me anymore. I don't believe in any of that stuff anymore." So I kind of realized that, oh, there's something bigger going on here. And as we're going up Popham's Road, I kind of slowed down. This isn't just about making another tenner. And he says, I still remember, he says, "I'm not a religious person. And I just feel uncomfortable saying those words." And you see, Sean, like many people in the world today, have outgrown those stories that they were taught as children. Those stories have become irrelevant. And they kind of make no sense in their life experience. And yet here I am today, speaking about the Bible and a key passage that explains why we are the way we are. Why are we creative? Why are we powerful? Why are we capable of great good? And yet we're fundamentally flawed. We're kind of doomed to shame and fear and guilt. And all the while, we're knowing deep within that there must be something more. There is something better in this life and beyond. We have this kind of sense that, you know, there is something better, but it's just beyond our reach. And the Bible is a book that it proclaims to be true, and proclaims to be the only book that explains who God truly is and who we are to God. And that in finding out who God is, somehow we truly find out who we are and who we're meant to be. It's a lifelong journey of discovery. And for any Christian, here is a Bible. The Bible is a big part of that. The Bible is it's a kind of map. It's also a mirror, amongst many other things. And this whole series of coming to the end of this series of Genesis, the Bible is bookended by Genesis 1 to 3 and Revelations 21 to 22. And in those first three chapters of Genesis, as you've been learning over the last few weeks, it contains the origin story of Christianity. It explains who brought things into being and how we were created differently to other living beings. It explains our original purpose and why we are the way we are now. And the last chapters of Revelation explain, well, how things are going to end up. And today's text gives us God's view of human beings. That even though we were created by God himself breathing into us and giving us something different to everything else in creation, somehow we're fundamentally flawed. Not because the process of creation was flawed, but because we were created with this free will, and the first people used that free will to make a wrong choice. They didn't obey God's command. God created this special place. He put them there. Look after it, lads. That's all you got to do. And just don't eat this one thing. And if you do, you're going to die. As Matt covered last week, Adam and Eve ate the fruit. So, I've got a couple of sections here. I'm going to go through the meaning of the text. I'm going to give a question, and I'm going to give some hope, God willing. So this text begins with God calling out to Adam. Where are you, Adam? Of course God knows where Adam is. But God calls out first. Adam's hiding. And he says, look, I hid because I was afraid. I was naked. For the first time in his life, he knew the fear of God. Before that, they had been walking in the garden, in relationship, every afternoon. But after his disobedience, he knew the fear of God. And he knew shame. He knew shame because he was naked. God says, look, who told you you were naked? Did you eat the fruit that I told you not to? And Adam blames God and Eve. Look, the woman you put here, the woman you put here with me, yeah, she gave it to me. Right? And then God says, well, Eve, what did you do? And she says, a snake. The snake lied to me and I ate it. And in these few short lines, we kind of see some of human nature portrayed so clearly, don't we? The blame game. I'm a classic one for the blame game. Ask my family. You know, something gets missing or broken. Well, not me. It's one of the kids, the dog, the cat. Or it was your mother. I don't know. Anyone except me, right? And yet, when something of mine is missing, or it's broken, oh my goodness, it's like the Spanish Inquisition. Who did this? Why? I've got to investigate. What happened to my thing? Right? Oh, and lying, I'm a terrible one for lying. Boy, in the taxi just the other day, I cut this jag up. I cut him up, and I had these four passengers in the car, and it's like, I said, that wasn't me. And this jag went, boop. I said, that wasn't me. It wasn't my fault. Of course it was my fault. Everybody in the car knew it was my fault. They said, no, it wasn't your fault. Oh my goodness. Right. Blaming, lying, man, just the whole story just resonates with any kind of person who's got any kind of, with if you've got any sense of self-awareness, right? And what were the consequences of their actions? And the text lists it. The snake is cursed to be hated forevermore. The woman is destined to have labor pain and to be under man. And the man is condemned to work for food. And essentially, the way things were meant to be, the way things God created things to be, were disrupted. disorder was brought into the world. Yeah? Meaning what? So before Adam and Eve, they didn't have to work for their food. Their work was just to look after the garden, right? Before Adam and Eve were together, and God created Eve and said, look, here you are. Work together in the garden. But their disobedience altered that power dynamics of their relationship, didn't it? And it altered their relationship to God. So their disobedience at the heart of it, this story shows that man and woman's disobedience at the beginning of time altered their relationship with one another and how it was supposed to be with God. The story says they were cast out of Eden, not to walk with God as they once had destined to be, were destined to do. And they were destined to die. They lost their place of honor. And instead of that honor being in the garden, the pinnacle of creation, they knew shame. And they'd lost their trust in God. Because they feared God. Before they walked with him without any fear. But as they were cast out, they knew fear each day of their lives. They lost their innocence of nakedness and they knew guilt. So the question is, and I spend most of my life listening to people who aren't Christians, right? Question is, how does that make you feel? Here is the Bible's big explanation of like why things the way they are. How does that make you feel? Most of the people I meet at work are just kind of just hanging on. They're just hanging on emotionally, hanging on economically, mentally, they're just trying to keep it together. They're just struggling to keep life together, irrespective of age, race or gender, right? So here I am today saying, look, because of an act of disobedience by our common ancestors back in the mists of time, before any of us existed, we've all been born separated from God. And we all have this kind of inbuilt flaw, a kind of error in our spiritual DNA. And the Bible calls this sin. And for most people, this isn't great news, right? In fact, this information actually might make you feel worse. And you want to switch off, because this is just like some kind of another moral rant about how you're not good enough, about how you've fallen short, which you probably know more clearly than anyone else. But hang on, you see, this story is explaining why we are the way we are, why things are the way they are. And does it make sense? Does it make sense? Does it make sense that all people are somehow fatally flawed? Capable of great good, yes. But within them, within us, within humanity, lies a fatal flaw. Is it true that the way we were supposed to, that the way we relate to one another has kind of been negatively altered at an individual and societal level? Just look at our society today. Just look at Cork, man alive. I drive in the city of Cork 5 days out of seven. You just, man, the levels of addiction are mind-boggling. Alcohol, drugs, whatever you want to name it, yeah? The level of dysfunctional marriages. The level of homelessness. The level of need, vulnerability. It's mind-blowing. Really is mind-blowing. And yet, there is enough. You know, there is enough stuff. There are enough houses if we want to. There are possible solutions to these problems, you know. And yet, these inequalities are there. Look at the world today. The wars raging all over the world. Yeah. The instability yet humanity has incredible technological advancement. But I ask you, has basic human nature changed? Has it really changed through the centuries? You look at our climate. Humanity's out of kilter with the world, with the environment, with creation. And the Bible explains, look, this is the result of human sin, which is essentially disobedience to God. And yet, hang on, is there any hope here? Is there any hope? And do you remember what Adam and Eve did when they realized they were naked? They made some clothes, right? They made some clothes out of leaves. And what did God replace these with? With the skins of animals. Now, who killed the animals? I always wonder that. I wonder what animal did they kill? I don't know. That's the way my mind works. It doesn't say who killed the animals, right? But it does say that God made garments of skin. And God was showing Adam and Eve, look, because of what you've done, we just had to kill something here. Blood was shed because of what you did. Yeah, and I'm going to use this skin to like cover your nakedness now. Something had to die so they would be clothed with something better than leaves. And this act of sacrifice, it points to the prophecy given to the snake, doesn't it? One of Eve's descendants, a son of man, would crush his head, would crush the snake's head. And it might kind of seem a bit cryptic, but it is pointing to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the Son of God and the Son of Man. And we've heard so often, oh, that God gave his Son for us. Another innocent who was killed, his blood was shed for you. We'll celebrate later for me, for all of us. And yet part of you is just kind of thinking, oh my goodness, man. This is just another fairy story, another myth that I've kind of grown out of. Let's just try and personalize this for a moment. Is there anyone here that you'd give your life for? Your husband, your wife, a child, a friend maybe? Or is there anyone who might give their life to save you? For myself, I was thinking about this, driving around, I was thinking, well, I know that my mother would definitely have given her life to save me. But she's gone now. And I don't think there's anybody else alive who would give their life for me today. Well, maybe my wife, she's there laughing, but I wouldn't want her to. I want her to live. I want her to live, yeah? I would definitely give my life for my kids, and I'd definitely give my life for my wife, but no one else here, I mean, like, literally no one else in this room, I wouldn't give my life for you, right? Or anybody else in the world, right? Yeah. But my children, my three lovely children, I wouldn't give their life for anybody. I wouldn't even give their life for my wife. She wouldn't want me to. I would not do that. Yet here in the Bible, it says that God the Father gave his Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us before we even knew him. How can this be so? And this is sacrificial love, like on a scale so huge that it's difficult to comprehend, isn't it? It's something just completely beyond our lived experience. And let me repeat, it says that, that God the Father giving his Son, Jesus Christ, for all of us and for all humanity. And this the Bible gives us this picture of a father giving his son. Let's try and think this through. Parental love. It's a kind of sacrificial love, isn't it? Parents sacrifice for their children, don't they? Give money, time, effort, so that our children will be cared for and have a good future, God willing. And this kind of sacrificial love is transformational. It's not an exchange of services, goods. As children receive this sacrificial love from their parents, bit by bit, God willing, it transforms them. It teaches them about a certain kind of love. And this kind of love is given graciously. Okay. There's not an expectation of an equal return. This kind of love is given in hope. This kind of love is given because we are built as parents to give this kind of love. And in the giving, there is great joy, isn't there? Yeah. And in the receiving, there is great joy. When my first kid was born, I experienced a new kind of love within me. You know, that love of a father for his child, his baby. Ooh, I held her in one hand. So cute. And it came in a moment. One day there were like just two of us. And then a few hours later, there were like three of us. It's just like, wow. Wow. Like, we made another human being. Wow. Yeah. I can still feel that excitement, you know. And I still have that love within me for my kids. A love accepts them because of who they are. Accepts them because they're part of me. Accepts them for who they are, not because of what they do. But it would be handy if they kind of did a bit more around the house. Yeah. And in turn, children will hopefully pass this on to their kids, right? But the sacrificial love of God for each of us is on another scale altogether. On another scale altogether. When you look at the world today, doesn't the world need another kind of love altogether? It somehow is just going to change humanity altogether to its very core. The Bible says that our hope is in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who gave his life for humanity. An innocent person gave his life, his blood for you and I, so that our shame might be covered up, and so that our guilt might be taken away, so that our relationship with God might be restored. And in that, so that in that process, our position and our honor as children of God might be restored. You see, this story from the Bible about Adam and Eve and the fruit and the skin and the curses. See, this isn't the way things were supposed to be in the world. The world was created to be better, but we have messed it up, literally. And that sense that you have within you that things are not as they should be comes from God. That sense of outrage that you feel, that injustice, that comes from God. That hope that you have for something better comes from God. And you might be sitting there saying, sure, whatever, yeah. Believe what you want as long as it does not affect me or hurt anybody else. Yeah. Just do what you want. Hey, but hang on a minute. This is relevant to you. You see, because this story points to something better. Freedom from just like hanging on, yeah? Healing from this inbuilt flaw and the power. The Bible says that God gives us the power to do the right things. And you might say, well, where is the proof of this? And if my family weren't here, I might try to explain how my life has changed. but they would say that I'm in need of a lot of work and I'm a work in progress. So I do have a suggestion, right? One suggestion. If anything that I've said makes any sense to you whatsoever, we feel these stirrings and longings within us. We've identified that, man, there is something. Yeah, I could be better. I need to be changed. And I need to be changed in that deeper, most deepest, most inner, most part of myself. Use this realization to turn outward, because the answer does not lie within. Turn outward and turn and look for God. Turn away from those past behaviors and thoughts and ideas to look for something better, to look for God. We turn from our past. We look for God. And as we turn to God in prayer, saying whatever's within your innermost heart, oh God, just help me. I need to change. Help my unbelief. Help me believe. Help me to see the truth, whatever it may be. As we come into relationship with God and we see our past actions as God sees them, we turn to him knowing that only he can change us. And in accepting his forgiveness for our past, we receive his acceptance, and then we obey. We obey him because, not because we've been accepted. We don't obey to receive acceptance. That somehow would mean that we somehow have earned it. No, we're accepted and then we obey because we want to. Because we know it's the right thing. And because we have the power to do the right thing. And because we know it is pleasing to God. Back to Sean. So there I was, Saturday morning. Driving along, and I just realized, man alive, this guy's talking about something serious here. We're driving up the hill, so I just slow right down. Brrr. I stopped the car and I turned around to Sean. I just said, Sean, mate, can I just give you some taxi man logic? So, if you're right, Sean, and it's all a myth, and it's just a fairy story. Well, why don't you just go in there, mate, and just do your prayers, say the words, and everyone will be happy. Think you're a good bloke, and that'll be the end of it. Because it's all just a myth, isn't it, according to you? And after a while, there won't be any negative consequences, and you'll just forget about it. You'll have done the right thing, and your family will be happy. But then I said, that's if you're right, Sean, right? But Sean, what if all that Bible stuff is true? And then if you actually meet God at some point in the future, what will you say to him? Sean was thoughtful and he didn't say anything actually. Just sat there in the car for a few moments. He said, thanks for that. I'm early. I'm going to go into the back of the church and sit and think about that. That was the last I saw of him. But I knew that as he got out of the car, that God was saying to Sean, where are you, mate? And despite how his life had gone and gone very well, God had led Sean back to church. even though he wasn't interested in it, thought that it was all a myth. And that for some reason, God had put him in the taxi with the Christian taxi man. I just would like to finish by saying, so where are you today? You're here in this room. You might be listening on the internet or whatever. Where do you stand today? How can you respond to God calling you? Where are you? Amen.
Thanks for listening. If you would like to know more about the Sunday AM service, visit our website at www.cupcork.ie or follow us on Instagram at Sunday AM Cup Cork. Our church services are held on Sunday at 11 a.m. in the Carrig Centre in Ballincollig.